Welcome to Global Moms Initiative. This is a podcast of a series of mom stories across the world.
Okay.
Today, we're traveling to the country of Georgia.
Okay.
To hear the story of a mother whose life was really just this tapestry of dedication, love, and resilience. Mm. And her story really highlights the universal joys and challenges of motherhood, no matter where you are.
Yeah, it's a story that's both deeply personal and incredibly insightful.
Yeah.
Offering us a glimpse into the realities of raising a child with special needs in a society where support systems were often lacking. What's fascinating here is how this mother managed to balance her demanding personal life with a long and fulfilling career.
Okay, let's dive in. So this mother dedicated an incredible 56 years of her life to teaching.
Wow.
Shaping the minds of generations of students in her community.
That's amazing.
Can you imagine the impact?
It's truly remarkable. Alongside her dedication to her career, she also raised three sons.
Wow.
One of whom was born with microcephaly.
Yep.
A condition where a baby's head is smaller than expected and which often leads to developmental challenges.
That must have been incredibly difficult, especially considering that she didn't always have the support that she needed.
Absolutely. But what struck me was her resilience and unwavering positivity. She found solace and purpose in her work, her hobbies, and most importantly, her family. And through it all, she never stopped advocating for better support systems for families like hers.
That's a powerful message.
Mm.
And it really underscores the need for greater awareness and understanding.
Yeah.
But I think to truly grasp the depth of her experience, we need to hear it in her own words. Are you ready to dive into her story?
Absolutely. Let's hear it directly from her.
Here's the full article, word for word.
When I became a mother and found out that my son was born with primary microcephalies, that's when my life changed. I got married at the age of 30. My husband and his parents were outstanding individuals. I was 33 when I had three children already. I lived with my in-laws for 25 years. However, we loved and respected each other.
It's interesting how she starts her story by highlighting the strength of her family unit.
Yeah.
Particularly the support she received from her husband and in-laws. That must have been crucial, especially given the challenges she faced with her youngest son.
Absolutely. It speaks to the importance of having a strong support network when navigating the complexities of raising a child with special needs. It's clear that her family played a vital role in her ability to cope and thrive.
Let's see what she says next.
Okay. I never asked for leave at work. My in-laws helped me with my youngest son, and my mother took care of my second son while I worked. I used to come back home in the afternoon and take care of all the other duties. When my in-laws became older, it became harder for me to manage responsibilities at work and at home. However, I didn't quit.
Her work ethic is incredible.
Yeah.
Even with all the demands at home, she never missed a beat at work. It makes you wonder how she managed to juggle it all.
It speaks volumes about her determination and resilience. She clearly had a deep sense of responsibility both to her family and to her career. She also mentions the support she received from her own mother.
Right.
Further emphasizing the importance of familial bonds in her life.
Okay, let's continue.
Looking after my son with microcephalies was tough. The energy I spent on his care was equivalent to bringing up 24 children. The desire to save his life was my source of energy to cope with the night tantrums and sicknesses. In search of a cure and treatment, we took my son abroad.
You can really sense the depth of her love and dedication to her son.
Yeah.
The challenges she describes must have been incredibly draining, both physically and emotionally.
Right.
And yet she never gave up hope.
It's heartbreaking to hear about her tireless efforts to find a cure for her son, taking him abroad in search of treatment. Her dedication to his well-being is truly inspiring.
Let's hear more.
We were told that it was the sixth case that couldn't be cured. They suggested that we leave him at the hospital. I remember what my husband said at that moment. I would never leave my puppy here. How can I possibly leave my son?
Wow. That must have been a devastating moment to be told that there was no cure and to even be advised to leave her son at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband's response is incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
It really underscores the unwavering love and commitment they shared.
Absolutely. This part really highlights the emotional toll that such a diagnosis can have on a family. But despite the heartbreak, they chose to face it together, united in their love for their son.
It's a testament to their strength and resilience as a couple. What happens next?
His body grew. He changed his teeth, and he got a beard, too. We took good care of him for 24 years. He seemed to be happy, which can't be said about my husband and I. Our days were truly tough.
It's heartwarming to hear that despite the challenges, they were able to provide a loving and supportive environment for their son.
Yeah.
Giving him a happy life. But you can also sense the personal sacrifices they had to make. 24 years is a long time to live with that level of constant care and worry.
Yes, she's very honest about the toll it took on her and her husband, both physically and emotionally. Their dedication to their son's well-being undoubtedly came at a personal cost.
Okay, let's continue.
If my motherhood experience went differently, I would definitely be a mother of many children. I would give birth to every child that would be given to me. He was 24 years old when he passed away. It was the most difficult and unbearable day in my life.
This part is just heartbreaking. You can feel the depth of her grief and the profound impact her son's passing had on her.
Yeah.
But even in her sorrow, she expresses a deep love for children and a longing for a different motherhood experience.
It's a testament to the depth of her maternal instincts. It's clear that she found immense joy in motherhood, even amidst the challenges.
Let's continue with the next part of her story after a quick word from our sponsors. So we left off on a poignant note hearing about the loss of her son. I'm ready to hear more whenever you are.
Okay, picking up where we left off.
Perfect.
The happiest moment that I experienced was when my second son called me a mother. There was big sweetness in our family. My husband was very supportive and we were happy together. Despite his busy work life, he would always find time for me. We didn't have any difficulties in the family apart from our son's health condition.
It's touching to hear about the love and support within her family unit, those moments of joy amidst the heartache. And it speaks volumes about her husband's character, always finding time for her despite his busy schedule.
It's a reminder that even in the face of adversity, those small moments of connection and love can sustain us. She clearly cherished those times with her family.
Okay, let's hear more.
My childhood and youth were careless and happy. We would travel a lot. I loved being active in many ways. Living with my first family was a totally different life. My father died when he was 51. My mother tried her best to let us experience different things and supported us all the time.
It sounds like she had a very different upbringing, full of travel and carefree happiness. It is interesting to hear her reflect on those early years, particularly the loss of her father at a young age.
It makes you wonder how her own childhood experiences shaped her approach to motherhood and her resilience in the face of challenges. The contrast between her carefree youth and the later demands of raising a child with special needs is quite striking.
All right, let's see what she says next.
I started to work for the same school where I studied after obtaining my degree in pedagogy. My school is a century and a half years old now. Work life was successful. Diploma certificates achievements. I earned plenty of them within the 56 years that I spent in service. I also was a deputy director of the school.
Her dedication to education is remarkable. Spending her entire career at the same school, rising to the position of deputy director, it's clear that she found immense fulfillment in her work.
It's interesting to consider how her career might have provided her with a sense of purpose and stability during those difficult years raising her son. Teaching can be such a rewarding profession, shaping young minds and contributing to the community.
Absolutely. Let's hear more about her life outside of work and family.
I played in the regional team of the volleyball. Nobody could take my hit. At school, children were asking me to throw the ball even when I was already old, and I enjoyed playing with them a lot. I was good at sports, both I and my husband.
I love this. It's so great to hear about her passion for volleyball, even in her later years. It shows that she had interests and hobbies outside of her demanding roles as a mother and teacher.
It speaks to her vitality and well-rounded personality. It's a reminder that it's important to maintain those things that bring us joy, those activities that feed our soul and keep us connected to our passions.
Okay, what comes next?
At the age of 73, I started to experience vision problems, and this became the reason to leave the teacher's job. Otherwise, I still feel energetic and capable of working. Now I worry about my sons who are not married. It's painful for a mother when you can't imagine their future with their family.
It sounds like retiring from teaching was a difficult decision driven by health issues rather than a desire to stop working. And you can really sense her concern for her sons, a common worry for mothers as their children enter adulthood.
It's a natural instinct to want the best for our children, including seeing them find love and build their own families. Her worry highlights the ongoing nature of a mother's love and concern even as children grow older.
Let's continue.
I contributed to the growth of so many children within 56 years, but never had a chance to experience what it is to have a grandchild.
That must be a bittersweet feeling, to have dedicated her life to nurturing so many children, yet not experienced the joy of being a grandmother. It's a reminder that life doesn't always unfold according to our plans, but we can still find meaning and fulfillment in the paths we're given.
It also makes you appreciate the unique and profound connection between a mother and her own children, a bond that can't be replicated in other relationships.
Okay, I'm ready for the next part, whenever you are.
I didn't get any support from society and the government when I was a mother of a child with an incurable diagnosis. Now the number of children with a variety of autism spectrum has grown. It would be good if there would be any kind of support system for their mothers. From my own experience as a mother and a class teacher, it's a mistake to put these children together with the others in the same classroom. They need a specific environment. We can't avoid and escape bullying from other students' side, and this has a negative impact on the children with a diagnosis.
This is such an important point she's raising. Her personal experience highlights a systemic issue: the lack of adequate support for families raising children with special needs. Her advocacy for these families, drawing on her own challenges, is incredibly powerful.
It's a stark reminder that societal support systems often lag behind the needs of families facing unique challenges. Her perspective as both a mother and a teacher is invaluable. She brings firsthand knowledge to the conversation about inclusion and the importance of creating appropriate learning environments for children with special needs.
Let's hear more about her thoughts on this issue.
The death of my son put a big mark on my other son's mental health. They suffered a lot psychologically. I remember my second son was lying on the ground crying loudly, "Mother, don't let him die or I will kill myself too." It was this difficult. His brothers were neglected at some point. They never had enough attention from their parents. They have never spent any vacations with their parents. That's why I say that it would be better if we provided a separate space for children with special health conditions.
This part is just heartbreaking. The ripple effect of her son's condition and passing on her other sons is palpable. It underscores the importance of addressing the needs of the entire family, not just the child with special needs.
Yes, her story highlights the unintended consequences that can arise when families lack sufficient support. The emotional strain on her other sons is evident, and it raises important questions about how we can better support siblings of children with special needs.
It's a reminder that these challenges don't exist in isolation. They impact the entire family unit. Let's see what else she has to say about this.
I am extremely kind, and I will share my last bite with the other. I can't hurt anybody, I will never insult anyone, nor do I tolerate it from anyone. I would leave my worries at home and put all my energy into work, organize events and celebrations, and leave people impressed by my enthusiasm.
It's amazing how she was able to maintain such a positive and giving spirit despite the hardships she faced. Her dedication to her work and her ability to compartmentalize her worries speaks to her incredible strength and resilience.
It's a powerful testament to the human capacity for resilience and compassion. Even in the face of personal challenges, she chose to focus on bringing joy to others, leaving a positive impact on her community.
Okay, let's continue.
It is necessary for a woman to have a job and an occupation. My work saved me. Despite the sadness, I stood on my legs at work. I hadn't lost my wings. I let my creativity unleash.
Her words are so powerful and inspiring. It sounds like her work was more than just a job. It was a lifeline, a source of strength and purpose that helped her navigate those difficult times.
It highlights the importance of finding fulfillment and meaning in our work, particularly for women who often face societal pressures and expectations surrounding motherhood.
Let's continue with the next part of her story.
I feel like I took away my mother's life. She didn't accept my son. She begged me to leave him. I didn't listen to her. I couldn't imagine that he wouldn't sleep next to me for a single night, even though I had to feed him 3 times a day, and me and my husband had to wake up at night a million times. My mother died when she was 64.
This part of her story reveals the complexities of family dynamics and differing perspectives on caring for a child with special needs. It must have been incredibly difficult to navigate that conflict with her own mother.
It's a poignant reminder that even within families, there can be disagreements and differing opinions. Her unwavering commitment to her son, even in the face of opposition from her own mother, speaks volumes about her strength and conviction.
It also highlights the emotional burden that mothers often carry, having to make difficult choices and navigate complex family relationships.
Yes, and the fact that she blames herself for her mother's death adds another layer of complexity to the situation. It shows the depth of her empathy and the weight of responsibility she felt.
Let's hear more.
I call for all mothers to do everything for their children and give them education. This is crucial. I am pleased to see that nowadays parents choose schools and early years education centers carefully. Their children will be educated, and that's a big step forward.
Her passion for education shines through here. Despite her own challenges, she remained a staunch advocate for the importance of education, recognizing its transformative power.
It's a message that resonates across cultures and generations. Education can empower individuals, open doors to opportunities, and contribute to a brighter future.
All right, let's move on to the next part of her story.
I regret that I didn't move to the capital city and that I didn't give my sons more opportunities. I feel like this is my mistake. Once I planned to move, but I changed my mind after my sister-in-law reminded me of the responsibility of taking care of my old in-laws. I chose to hurt myself instead, and so we stayed in the village.
It's interesting to hear her express regret about not moving to the capital city, wondering about the opportunities her sons might have had. It's a common sentiment for parents reflecting on the choices we make and their potential impact on our children's lives.
It also highlights the pull of family obligations and the difficult decisions that arise when trying to balance personal aspirations with the needs of loved ones.
And once again, we see the importance of her extended family network, her sister-in-law, playing a significant role in her decision-making process.
It's a reminder that family can be a source of both support and constraint, shaping our choices and influencing the course of our lives.
Let's hear more about her in-laws.
It's funny that my in-laws lived in Tbilisi and they moved to the village because they enjoyed village life more. My mother-in-law was a singer at the Tbilisi Women's Choir, and you could always hear her singing and playing piano at our place. My father-in-law was the best human being, very kind. I loved him so much.
It's heartwarming to hear her speak so fondly of her in-laws, painting a picture of a close-knit and loving family dynamic. It sounds like her mother-in-law brought a lot of joy and music into their home.
Yes, and it further emphasizes the importance of family in her life. It wasn't just her immediate family, but also her extended family that provided her with support and a sense of belonging.
All right, what's next?
Cultural politeness and education are so important for a woman. I have seen mother and daughter-in-law hitting each other. They are usually illiterate and bearers of low culture. You would never see such behavior in educated people. Looking back at my life, I have done a lot.
Her perspective on the importance of education and cultural politeness is interesting. It seems like these values were deeply ingrained in her and shaped her worldview.
It's a reflection of her own upbringing and the emphasis placed on education and social decorum. It also speaks to her belief in the transformative power of education to elevate individuals and foster a more harmonious society.
Let's continue.
Now, when people of my age meet me and tell me that I was the light of the whole province, it means a lot to me. I think I am a role model mother among those who have had a sick child. When the school principal came to my place, she was surprised by what she saw. I was taking care of my three children at the same time, all of them with fever.
It's heartwarming to hear her recognized for her contributions to her community. Being seen as a role model, especially for other mothers who have faced similar challenges, must be incredibly validating.
It speaks to the impact she had on those around her, inspiring others with her strength, resilience, and unwavering dedication to her family and her work.
Okay, let's hear more.
And I didn't take a day off that day at work. I never missed any work-related events either.
Her work ethic is truly remarkable. Even with her children sick, she still went to work and fulfilled her responsibilities.
It's a testament to her commitment to her profession and her unwavering sense of duty. It also makes you wonder about the societal expectations and pressures that she might have felt, potentially limiting her options for taking time off.
Okay, let's hear what she says next.
I did not fall. I didn't bother anyone with my problems and worries. It is possible to be a mother and to also live your life. However, family support is very important.
Her determination shines through in these words. She faced her challenges head-on, never giving up or letting them define her.
It's a message of hope and empowerment for mothers everywhere. It's possible to balance motherhood with other aspects of life, to pursue our passions and find fulfillment outside of our roles as mothers. But as she emphasizes, family support is crucial.
Okay, let's move on to the final part of her story.
If there is an afterlife, would you like to be a mother there too? I would definitely be a mother in that life as well, a mother of many children.
What a beautiful and poignant way to end her story.
It speaks volumes about her love for children and the deep-seated maternal instincts that shaped her life. Motherhood was clearly her calling, a source of both immense joy and profound challenges.
Her story is a testament to the resilience of the human spirit, the unwavering love of a mother, and the importance of finding joy and purpose, even in the face of adversity. Let's delve deeper into the meaning of her story after a quick word from our sponsor. So much to unpack there. I mean, what a story, this mother's life. I mean, it's clear that motherhood was truly her calling, both a source of such immense joy and profound challenges.
Absolutely. Her story is like this tapestry woven with threads of resilience, love, and profound strength. And it's truly inspiring to witness how she navigated those complexities of motherhood, career, and personal challenges with such grace and determination.
It really makes you think about those universal experiences of motherhood. You know, the joys, the challenges, the sacrifices, and that unwavering love that transcends borders and cultures.
Right. It's a powerful reminder that despite our differences in culture and circumstance, there are these shared experiences that really connect mothers across the globe. And her story really highlights the challenges that so many mothers face when raising children with special needs, especially when those societal support systems are lacking.
What struck me the most was her unwavering dedication to her son with microcephaly. It shaped not only her family life, but also her outlook on society. And she became such a powerful advocate for greater understanding and support for families like hers.
Yeah, and despite experiencing so much personal loss and hardship, she never lost sight of the importance of education, both for her own children and for future generations. It's clear that teaching was more than just a job for her. It was a calling, a way to empower young minds and contribute to her community.
Absolutely. Her dedication to her work, her family, and her community is truly inspiring. What are some key takeaways you think our listeners can glean from her story?
Well, I think her story really challenges us to be more mindful of the diverse experiences within motherhood. It encourages us to advocate for greater support for families with special needs and to recognize the importance of strong support networks.
She also emphasized the importance of finding fulfillment and meaning in our work, of balancing our roles as mothers with those other aspects of life that bring us joy and purpose.
And despite the hardships she faced, she never gave up hope. Her story is a testament to the resilience of the human spirit and the enduring power of love.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the life of this remarkable mother from Georgia. Her story reminds us that even amidst those extraordinary challenges, human connection, love, and a positive spirit can truly shine through.
Yeah.
See you on our next deep dive.